creating and rekindling memories. NHR.
There's a play that's being performed at the Nottingham Lace Market Theatre, 9th to the 14th of February. It's a play called Things I Know to Be True. Now, I don't know really an awful lot about the play, so I thought it's best to go and find somebody who actually knows a lot about the play, and that's the director, Jonathan Cleaver. Hello, Jonathan, how are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. Nice to see you again, Kevin.
Yeah, it's always good to see you. So. Now then, this play, all I know is really it's about the Price family. Yeah. It's a bit of a fragmented family, really, isn't it? So, but saying that, there's a lot of families who are very similar, or the Price family are very similar to any other family, really, aren't they?
Yeah, yes, very much so. And I think that's why if you come and see the show, you will relate to it, because there are so many things that happen to this family, which... in a sort of soap opera way, if you like, happen to all sorts of families. And it takes place over a year, and you get these four grown-up siblings in this Price family who all have, well, should we just say issues? I can't give too much away.
There's a lot of secrets within all of them.
Yeah, there are secrets and things that haven't been said. And the title of the play is a sort of giveaway, because they all think that they know what's true in their lives, but actually, as events unfold, they realise that things are not quite as true as you expect them to be. And I think that's very true of most families. It reminds me very much of Mike Leigh's Secrets and Lies. Yeah. So that whole sort of, like, you know, a very realistic family, ordinary people, but underneath the surface of celebrations and stuff, there's all this other stuff going on. Which is quite a surprise to the audience through most of the play.
It's a little bit different to maybe some of the plays that we've seen here at the Lace Market. And I noticed the thing that you got on Facebook, it's described as frantic theatre and physical theatre. Mm. I know roughly what physical theatre is, but what's frantic theatre?
Well, frantic theatre is physical theatre.
Right.
They're sort of synonyms for each other, really. So Frantic are a company, and they started in the 1990s. I remember seeing them up in Edinburgh when I went to the festival there, the Fringe Festival, many, many years ago. And they believe in showing meaning through movement. So it's not dance.
Yeah.
It is physical, and it is very in your face, if you like. But they try to... They take naturalistic plays, and then they'll take moments in those plays where they show relationships between characters through movement. And that's what this is about as well. So it's a naturalistic play written by Andrew Bovell, but Frantic have put their own take on it. And when I saw it 10 years ago in Warwick, when it first came out, I was just blown away by some of the movement sequences, and they've got lifts in it. It's very beautiful. And in a way, it sort of embellishes what's going on between the characters naturalistically in the dialogue. So that's what we're doing with it. If you want to see something a little bit different, then, you know, it is something. I don't think the Lace Market have done anything to do with Frantic before.
I can't remember seeing anything at all, why it attracted me to that particular phrase, Frantic.
Because they were, when they first started, very frantic, literally. Yeah. They would run around the place on stage. Well, we're not doing that. We're not running around the stage, but we are integrating movement with dialogue. They're most well known for the curious incident of the dog in the night time. So if you've ever seen that or seen it, excerpts of it online, there's lots of lifting the lead character, the boy, up in the air, and movement sequences and music sequences.
Yeah.
So music's quite big in this show as well. You know, they like to do things to music, so it underscores a lot of what you see on stage.
Talking about that, I know that when it was first done, and then I think it was first done in Australia, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's an Australian playwright, and this is actually set in Australia, yeah.
And... two of the artists that have sort of been put their names to it are, first of all, Leonard Cohen, of course, and Niels Frahm, who I've never heard of before.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you using the same type of music?
Well, the thing is, when I have to hold my hands up here. When I saw it in Warwick, originally in the UK, it was such a fantastic production. People were crying in the audience at the end, because I can't tell you what happens, obviously, but it's very moving at the end. because you invest a lot in these characters, and then what happens to them is very moving. But there was just such a beautiful reaction to it from the audience, and it ran for such a long time. It went down to the West End as well. And I loved it so much. It was so influential in my teaching days as a drama teacher when I was. It's like, well, if it's not broken, why change it, sort of thing. And I've stolen quite a lot of ideas from them. And I held my hands up because if you've ever seen that production, I know a lot of students who I took to see that in the day have now obviously grown up. They're in their 20s and 30s. And they remember it well for those things as well. It's just wonderful. So I've tried to... I've obviously put my own take on it.
Yeah.
And I have used Niels Frahm music, but I've used lots of different types of music as well to sort of put, you know, an original slant on it. What was the one you said, Niels Frahm?
Leonard Cohen.
Oh, yeah. Well, Leonard Cohen is referred to in the play, you see. So there is a section where the eldest daughter talks about her mum listening to Leonard Cohen when things weren't going well for her. So she would put that on the radio, go into the garden and get a crafty fag behind the shed and sort of like deal with all her angst. And she would put Leonard Cohen on, and there's a song that's used an awful lot in the play, and the lyrics are very pertinent to both the mother and the daughter and what the daughter goes through as well. When I say daughter, she's in her 30s, but you know,
yeah,
we don't grow up, do we? We always have problems.
We always stay the same age inside.
Yeah, this is not just about teenagers, this is about grown adults who are still finding their way in life.
I imagine going into the garden listening to Leonard Cohen might just push you over the edge.
Well, when I didn't know much about Leonard Cohen before putting this show on, and this particular song, when I first heard it, I was like, gosh, this is so out there and different. And I mean, a bit gloomy, some of Leonard Cohen, isn't it? But it has grown on me and the cast, and particularly Charlie Osborne, who has to sing a couple of lines from it as well. And it's a really beautiful song, and it's made me really... think a little bit more about getting into some Leonard Cohen and listening to it, because it's really interesting stuff.
Because of course he did Hallelujah as well, which
yeah, absolutely, song, so. Yeah, yeah.
Which that isn't the song that's in there.
No,
that's,
it's not.
That's a little bit too happy, I think.
Let me put it out there though. This is not a gloomy play.
No,
there is a lot of humour in it as well. It's very funny. You really grow to love the characters. And the mum, the relationship between the older mum and dad, they're in their 60s, it's so funny. And that's Fraser and Sarah. If you've ever seen Act at the Lace Market before, you know that they're very good at comic timing and stuff as well. So there's a lot of quips in it, and a lot of witticisms.
I think Bob, the dad, played by Fraser, I think he brings a lot of the comedy.
Bob is a character who's... he's retired, and he's in his mid-60s, and he puts all these... life and soul into cultivating this garden in the back of the house, and he's just sort of lost in it a bit, and Fraser does that very well. You know, he'll have a moment of just staring at the roses, and his wife is just like, what on earth are you doing, Bob, you know. It's really funny, and Fran, Sarah Taylor is very funny as well.
Tell us about the other characters in there then. What are they like?
Yeah, so you've got the four grown up siblings. So you've got Charlie is playing Pip, and Pip is having difficulties in a relationship, and she's the one who has the most strained relationship with her mother, because there's a lot of similarity between them, as you realise through the play, and so they're so similar that Fran gets cross at Pip and vice versa. But the play is about love. It's about holding together in the face of adversity. When things go wrong, the one thing you have is your family. And I think Pip and Fran's relationship exemplifies that. Then you've got Mark, who's one of the brothers, one of the sons, and he is having, again, a difficulty in a relationship, but for a very different reason. And that's quite, let's just say it's quite a shock and a surprise when you realise what's really going on for Mark in the play. And he's being played by Jude Hodgson, who is a newbie at the Lace Market Theatre, and is doing a brilliant job with that. Then we've got Ben. He's another son, and he's being played by Louis Harrison. And Ben is a go-getter. He's out there trying to get his money, spending it on flash cars. Everybody thinks he's got an amazing job, but again, it transpires that there's stuff going on behind the scenes with that comes out in the wash. And he's the one that's spoilt a bit. Fran absolutely adores him and Molly coddles him. He's the favourite son. But you realise that she's maybe got her priorities wrong. And then you've got Rosie. She's the youngest daughter. And she's the one around whom the year, as it progresses, revolves. And her, it's in her namesake, really. The play is focused on these six rose trees. That's what the set is. There are six rose trees in this garden, in this planter's. And when she comes home from a trip abroad, that's how the play starts. And she is a rose who is blossoming and blooming. She's very young. She was a late addition to the family. And she wants to grow up. She disappears off to Europe on a backpacking holiday from Australia to discover herself and gets her heart broken. And she goes back home because that's where she thinks everything that she knows is true. And then all this stuff comes out in the wash as the year progresses. And, well, I won't tell you what happens to Rosie, but she's the one who has to grow up and has to grow up very quickly.
Now, we've mentioned it's set in Australia originally. Mm. When it went over to America, they changed the setting to a place in America.
Yeah.
Is this going to be a British setting for this?
No, we are. It is still Australia, right, for all intents and purposes. But again, when I saw this done originally and I read about it, Frantic Assembly, Frantic Theatre, they said that when they cast all the actors, they just wanted them to have their own accent.
Right.
They didn't want an Australian accent to get in the way of their casting and not let people go because they didn't maybe sort of suss the accent. And the other reasoning for it is because it's a universal play. It could be anywhere. It could be set anywhere. And so when you first hear the actors speak, you just accept, okay, so they haven't got an Australian accent, but that doesn't matter because this is about a family in a point of time, but it just so happens it's in a place of Australia.
They could have gone over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I thought about setting it in the UK, but there's lots of references to being in Australia. And it sort of suits with the set as well because they refer to a eucalyptus tree, which we have on stage.
Yeah.
And there's lots of things that go on with this eucalyptus tree in terms of the symbolism and what it represents. And I didn't want to lose all that because that's very, you know, it's very about Australia.
You don't get many eucalyptus trees in
Nottingham
anyway.
No, you don't, no. And we've also got roots around the edge of the stage. That's part of the set. That's one of the ideas that I've brought to it because I want the audience to sort of see it as... you know, however you want to see the imagery of roots, you know, the roots of a family, our roots, our background, our ancestry and stuff like that, and being firmly rooted on stage and in a family as well. So that all links back to the eucalyptus, which is this big wild tree growing in the background.
Give the audience something to think about.
Well, there we go.
Definitely. On that note, I mean, the people who come to see that, and I'm sure it's going to be a sellout because... Now, the Lace Market, they're so well known for selling out their productions.
Well, they're doing really well, aren't they? Yeah. This season's been particularly good. Yeah, very good.
What do you want people to take away with them from seeing this?
Well, one of the quotes from Frantic was, "Love is both beautiful and destructive." and that's true in all relationships, but particularly within a family. And it's, you know, the family is what holds you together. You go to your family when you need them. You know, they're there in a crisis. You may not get on with everybody, but there's something there that you can always rely on. And yet at the same time, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family.
Exactly.
So you also have to put up with their foibles and their anger and their love, you know, all at the same time. So it's very much, that's what I mean, it's really universal. Everybody will be able to relate to it because we all have a family, whether we love them or not, whether we get on with them or not.
Stuck with them.
Yeah, you're stuck with them and you have to sort of accept that.
As I said at the beginning, it's a play that I've not seen before. I'm so looking forward to see it because I love new plays, or new to me anyway. And that is another great thing about the Lace Market Theatre. They always like to introduce newer plays and plays which aren't performed as often as maybe they should be. So when people get tickets to come and see Things I Know to Be True?
Well, you can phone the box office if you still want to do it that way. And they're open on Friday evenings and Saturday evenings. Or you can go online on their new website, which is really good and really accessible, and you can get tickets on there. dead easily.
The nice thing is you can pick your seats as well.
Yeah, so we are. Yeah. We have nearly sold out for the matinee, for the Saturday matinee, and Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights are looking pretty full now. So if you want to come later in the week, it's probably best to get your tickets ASAP.
Brilliant stuff. It's Things I Know to Be True. It's at the Lace Market Theatre, the 9th to the 14th of February. Jonathan, thank you so much. We'll see you down there.
Yeah, I'll see you too.
You know, the one thing that we are always looking for at NHR is willing volunteers. Whether it's presenting a show, visiting the wards, fundraising, or many other roles that we have, it's bound to be a rewarding experience. On top of that, you'll be having a positive impact on the time that people spend in hospital. So log on to nhradio.org.uk and go to the contact page and find out how you can get involved with us here at Nottingham Hospitals Radio.